What's so very disturbing, my friend, so upsetting really, is that we've really got it all wrong, you know, even we Christians. We think of ourselves as searching for God and calling upon Him and trying to nudge Him to awake, when in fact it is God who is searching it for us. We've got it all back to front, upside down. And the world certainly has. And that's a tragedy, because we do not have God. God is seeking to convince us. This is Colin Cook and How It Happens, my friends. Thanks for joining me today. You're listening to Good News. Good news that comes from the gospel, that comes from the Word of God. I'm telling you, my friends, we need to get familiar again with the Bible, with the words from Paul, because our hearts do not naturally come up with this stuff. Mine certainly doesn't. Only as I put my mind back into the Word of God do I get hope from a daily basis, or put my thoughts in the Word, whether I'm by the Bible or not, in prayer, you know, and calling up to God, affirming that He is with me and that He is searching for me and that He has found me. Now, I'm saying all this in connection with Romans chapter 8. You remember this passage that we're dealing with and were dealing with all last week. Now we continue with it. It's an incredible passage. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. There's nothing mysterious. Of course, yes, it's a wonderful and great mystery. But there's nothing overwhelmingly, negatively mysterious in this passage, my friends. Don't be thrown by the word foreknew or the word predestined. This is our God who sees the end from the beginning, who sees the tragedy of the world, who sees the wrong direction it goes in, and who has predetermined that He will save it. All people. And so He foreknows us, every one of us. He doesn't just see a world, He sees each individual in that world, and He predetermines that He will rescue that person. It is, however, tragically possible to resist the call, to say no thanks and go away. And this grieves the heart of God, of course, brings tears to His eyes, as it does ultimately and will to our eyes, when God will have to wipe away all tears from them. But the truth is, it is God seeking us. You know, world religions, and even Christian religion in some ways, will give you the false impression that human beings are searching after God. How otherwise would we interpret Hinduism and Islam and Buddhism and Shintoism, Taoism, and all of the other isms, but men seeking God? But if you will remember, if you will cast your mind back to Romans chapter 1 when we started there, and we'll start again there when we finish this series, you will find that the Bible does not say men are searching after God. They are suppressing Him. All mankind is. You say, well, how come if there's all this religion in the world? Three-quarters of the world is religious, more than that, mind you. Well, I will tell you, and it's a shocking truth. Religion is an instrument of suppression. Religion is a means by which we substitute God for rituals so that we can fool ourselves into thinking we're spiritual when we are actually suppressed. And all the time our God is searching for us. Look, the King has come to His people. Don't you remember verses like, He came to His own and His own received Him not? In John there. Don't you remember the word, the name of God, Emmanuel, God with us? Don't you remember the story of Israel, the account where God sets up a sanctuary among them that I may dwell among them? Don't you remember that God came to Israel when they were in slavery and told Moses to go and deliver them? They didn't call out to Him, He called out to them. Don't you see how God spoke to Abraham when Abraham didn't even know Him? Do you recall the words of Jesus, "Woe to you, Jerusalem, because you knew not the time of your visitation"? That is, you did not know the time when I was going to visit you, even though I told you the time, in Daniel chapter 9. Recall the words of Jesus, "Whoever is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Behold, I stand at the door and knock," he says. And the good shepherd leads his sheep and guides them and goes after them in the mountains when they're lost, just one of them. And he lays down his life for his sheep. All of this, my friends, is a message that says that God is searching for the people of God, for the people of the world whom he wants to become his people, while they are looking off in other directions. Why am I telling you all this? Because this is the message of predestination here in chapter 8 of Romans. This is not something mysterious and scary, but tremendously encouraging, because it means that God has set his heart upon the world, and that he has determined that all the things that go on in our lives, he will work them out for good to be able to bring us to himself. It means that he knew who we were before we were born, and he predetermined that he would reach us by his Spirit and by his Word. It means that he has loved us with an everlasting love. Now, why is this so important to you? Well, first of all, so that you don't get scared, but rather encouraged by this passage in Romans 8, verses 28 to 30. But also so that you may understand that the strength of your hold on God is not determined by your faith, but by his grace. You see, everybody that's listening to my broadcast right now, including the person who's broadcasting it, Colin Cook here, is struggling with temptation, struggling with habits, struggling with doubts and difficulties and the harassments of life. And we are very inclined to give up, because the troubles seem to suggest that God has forgotten. He's not around. Where is he? Why isn't he helping? When in fact, the very opposite is true, and that's what I'm seeking to convey. If you're struggling, for instance, with an addiction to drugs or to alcohol or to food issues or to heterosexual or homosexual addiction, and you still keep falling and getting up and falling again, and you wonder whether God will ever take you back, don't you understand that wondering whether God will ever take you back is the groaning within you for his acceptance, which he has put there in the first place? Do you see, my friends, that when it says that all things work together for good, and we're going to look at this a little more closely tomorrow, he's including the things and the pains and the struggles that you have gone through. He uses those to bring about a good end. So don't get this whole thing back to front and upside down and inside out. Salvation, as I said last week, does not come to you because you decided to accept Christ. It comes to you because God predestined you, foreknew you, not you as opposed to everybody else, but the whole world. And the good news is that you are hearing that determined heart of God in these words that I'm reading to you. For whom he foreknew, he predestined. That is to say, he determined that you would be saved. And listen, there is nothing that will stop that salvation except your unbelief. Don't walk away. Believe. Do you see then that the greatest sin in the world is the sin of unbelief? That's why Jesus calls it the unpardonable sin. People who look at Jesus and say, nah, they're committing the unpardonable sin. Because God cannot forgive unbelief, because unbelief believes that God will forgive. And it's a conundrum. It's a catch-22, you understand. So the issue for you, my dear friend, is not that you've got too many sins in your life. The issue is not, well, have you overcome your addiction yet? How many times have you fallen? Is it 1,000 or 10,000? Well, I'm sorry, 9,999 is the limit. No, that's not the issue. The issue is whether you keep throwing yourself back on God again, believing again, leaning upon him. Have mercy upon me, Lord. You are my righteousness. You are my life. I don't have any righteousness of my own. And so, my friends, now I know that the Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. I realize that. I'm not saying that we are not called upon to seek him. I'm not saying that we are not called upon to call upon him. But I'm saying this to you, that that is not the first mover. You, when you call upon God, you, when you seek the Lord, are not the first mover. God is the first mover. For how is it that you came to seek him in the first place? You would not have sought him unless his Holy Spirit were groaning within you. You say, well, why is he groaning within me and not groaning in all the world? He's groaning in all the world, for goodness sake. But it is the world that does not recognize what that groan is. The moment you hear the word from me and other people, and from the word of God as you open it, that moment is when you recognize what that groaning is within you. Why, that's God's call. That is God calling upon me. John, Peter, Jane, Mary, it's me. Open the door. So don't give up. Do not fall into this attitude that I'm not a good enough person to be a Christian. I haven't overcome this and that. I need to be better yet. Forget it. It's a deception of your own heart, my friend. Recognize that your concern about knowing God is from God himself. No prayer did you ever pray without it had been moved by the Holy Spirit within you. No desire did you ever have for God that was not first from God himself. So thank God. And as you do, you will know that the call is from him. I'm changing the format of the seminar coming up, my friends, the 25th of January, Jesus and Addiction, because, well, I'm reaching the people who have less attention span, which is the younger people these days. Although maybe that's you and the older people too, right? But anyway, we're going to start at 10, and we're going to go till 2 instead of 9 till 3:30, a 4-hour seminar instead of a 6.5-hour seminar. And so starting at 10, finishing at 2, and hopefully I will reach out and you will reach out to some of the younger people among us. Perhaps if you're even willing to go on the streets and put out a few flyers, call me to get some flyers, 303-738-8694. Boy, I almost lost my breath there. 303-738-8694. Jesus and addiction. This isn't about Jesus saves, it's about how Jesus helps. There's an old man here who could help you young guys and girls along with a thing or two. If you're using and can't stop, if you're into a habit that's harming you, your friends, your future, or if you've become disappointed in yourself and fear God might have given up on you, let this old man tell you a thing or two about Jesus and addiction. That's what the flyer says, basically, my friends. And if you would like to give some out to your neighbors, friends, or relatives, or maybe come out on the streets with me and give a few out there for an hour, then let's do it. I hope the regulars, though, and the people listening to this broadcast will come along, because I hope you will be blessed by the seminar and your presence gives assurance to some of the strangers coming in, and also can be a comfort to them as well as a help to the ministry if you can give some donation to support this seminar. So the 25th, my friends, the 25th of January, Saturday, where? Well, the usual place, La Quinta Inn, 7190 West Hampden Avenue. That's the south frontage road of West Hampden Avenue in Lakewood. Starting at 10, not 9, finishing at 2, not 3:30, 10 to 2. No break for lunch. Bring your own lunch. Pack your lunch, and coffee and juice will be provided. Okay, does this sound interesting to you? Jesus and addiction. You see, what we're going to do here is show the spiritual nature of addiction, show how faith breaks into addiction, show how Jesus is with us in our addictions and does not abandon us in our habits that we can't break or our difficulty of thoughts and feelings. I hope you'll join me then, and I'll see you next time. Cheerio, and God bless.